I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to Supercoach Edge. Well, Liam, it's finally round one. It's the official start to the footy season and Supercoach officially, even though we had round zero, but didn't count for Supercoach, of course. So we're not going to count it in football terms either. So we're finally away. We're off the mark and we're racing, much like the running man himself, Tuk Miller, who is one guy that we'll talk about, no doubt. But Liam, I don't know about you, but I actually had a half-decent start to the season, which, of course, we'll delve into shortly. What about yourself? Just quickly, are you happy that Supercoach is official? No, couldn't even finish the sentence. You just straight out, no.
Am I happy? No.
No.
I would say I had a quarter decent. I wouldn't even say a quarter. I'd say I'd have like an eighth decent start.
Yeah. Was it? How did you go? Happy. How'd you go in terms of constructing your team? Because it was a bit frantic. And I know, like, we obviously both put out our final, in inverted commas, team reveal videos on YouTube and, of course, the podcast on audio form, which no doubt changed as well across the board because, you know, rookies weren't selected. There were rookies that, you know, you could take flyers on, which I know you did for a fact, Liam, which I won't ruin who it was, but you did very well there. But were there anything in terms of, before we kick off the episode, in terms of your structure overall, because I imagine there's a heap of people out there that were changing things up completely in order to try and fit guys in last minute. Like, I know, for example, there were a lot of people that jumped off McKerch, which I find absolutely perplexing. People jumping off Max Gawn, of course, off his performance in round zero. Was there any sort of big changes that you made to your team, or did you by and large stick to your structure?
No, structure changed a little bit. Sorry, structure itself probably stayed the same. Backline, I don't think I touched, other than I moved Sheasel down to Powell, just as a bit of a pod option.
Yeah, I like it.
I wasn't – Sheasel, I think, will remain around the same price. I'm not too worried about him. I want to go too much into it, but I did make way. Gawn did make way, not because of his round zero score, just because I thought potentially English could act as a bit of a pod. Obviously didn't work out in round one. But
strategic.
Could in the long term. So just mindful of that. And then just Parrish obviously was in my side, who was obviously not playing. So he got moved to Luke Jackson, I think, of memory.
Yes.
So yeah, few changes, but nothing too major in terms of structure as such. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that I took out of last year. Always learning, we should say, always learning from year to year when it comes to Supercoach. But I changed up my structure last year off the back of McLean not being selected, brought in Fife, and that threw everything out, like I think across like multiple lines, and it completely stuffed me up when I was chasing my tail. So didn't bode well for me, and I just put that down to me selecting that pest that is Nat Fife, who must say, to his credit, actually did well in round one. But good segue, Liam. Before we actually get stuck into things, shall we go through our socials?
Yes, on YouTube, search Supercoach Edge and don't forget to subscribe so that you are notified when our content does drop from week to week. On Twitter, you'll find us at @Supercoach_Edge, Damon at @DamoJ88, myself at @LiamEvans_95. and search Supercoach Edge on Facebook and Instagram, and you'll find us there.
Very nice. Well, with the return of course, Supercoach Edge in season, comes the return of quite a few much-loved segments. Mm-hmm. And obviously comes as no surprise. We have a lot to cover in this episode. So let's kick it off with our quick head-to-head before we jump into the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is making its return. So for this segment, we will always have a running tally for our in-season head-to-head competition between obviously myself and your good self, Liam. In the past, we've also run through our teams in this segment, but this year we'll have separate videos with a bit more analysis into our strategies, discussing the trades we'll be making and reviewing our teams more comprehensively. So make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel so you can get notified of when they drop. So on to my score. I ended up scoring at 2,158, which I was pretty happy with. And I thought, shit, it's a pretty good score. Had a look around and there was so many other scores that were around about that mark. And I thought, oh yeah, there's a few higher, a few lower. I think the weekly winner ended up getting 2,500 or something from what I saw, which is nuts. Absolutely insane. But may run into a little bit of trouble when it comes to the early buys. But 2,158, all over pretty happy with, and ended up with a starting rank of 29,851, which is at least better than the 79K odd rank that I had to start 2023. That's pretty much that. But of course, yes, as I said, tune into my team review video that'll be up soon on our YouTube channel for a complete look at who performed, who didn't, and my trade plans heading into round two. But Liam, how did you fare?
Yeah, you had a nice start there, Damon. And it's actually, I feel better hearing that you had a 79K odd rank to start 2023 when I see what I ranked currently.
That's a good way to ease things in. That's a soft landing of you it's like worse. A soft launch. It's a soft launch of your score. Oh, it's okay.
But it means I can rise. It's not that much worse. It's around that mark. Yep. So I had a shocker to start 2024 and a few points left on the bench, which probably hurts me more.
Yes.
And points that you wouldn't have expected, like, as we, I don't want to go too much into it, but like Ollie Dempsey, with a 96 sitting firmly on my bench.
Rookie roulette. Would have been,
yeah, exactly.
Roulette. I mean, that's literally a missed wheel of fortune.
Would you have picked him over James Harms? Probably not.
No.
So there's that kind of stuff. Anyway. Onto my score, it was 2,035, so not great. And my ranking is 82,763. So as I said, I'm feeling better knowing that you were 79K odd last year. And yeah. I can power my way back up.
Well, last year I ended up finishing 981st. So Liam, there is hope. At least finishing inside the top 1K, so it's not the end of the world, which we probably should say as well, because on our Discord, which, of course, if you're not a part of, head across and join. We've put up our link on socials, on Twitter/X, whatever it is. And some people there were a bit disheartened by their score, similar to yourself, and I made that very point. I said I had a shit start to the season last year, scored 1,890 last year.
Oof.
That was a terrible, terrible start.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was. I can't even recall. Probably five, I reckon. It would have been. So I think he scored about 20.
I remember having Stuart last year in round one, getting injured straight up.
Yes.
And then I had flashbacks when Gibbs went down. Obviously, very different caliber of player in terms of Supercoach scoring. But when Gibbs went down, I was like, oh, God, yeah, we've got another. Just don't start any defenders. It's happening.
It's happening again. It's happening. Exactly right. Yeah.
But my worst ever start to the season in my time in Supercoach ever. I don't think I've ever been ranked below 82,000. So that's
we all love an underdog.
On the way going up.
Shall we play the song here? The only way is up. Bring it back. Didn't think I'd have to play it this early, but we will.
And well, it's true. It's accurate. The only way is up. Surely, hopefully.
And of course, as I said, everyone loves an underdog. So don't fret. Everyone's going to be on your side when it comes to our head-to-head matchups. Everyone's going to be on your side again. Yeah, like especially
hopefully.
I had the bragging rights from last year. And now's your turn.
No, I'm coming back.
You're coming back. Exactly
I'm
right.
I'm coming back.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, as you said, Damon, like, it's a long season, and I'm sure I can make up some ground for the next few weeks with some better choices around captaincy and all that kind of stuff. But even then, best 18 in the next few weeks, that's going to help. It's going to help, yes. I think, make some differences with some of the players that I have, hopefully. So, as I said, you can we can chat through, or I'll be chatting through my plans in my team episode. We'll go through the review, and that'll be released later this week. But let's just quickly jump into the head-to-head. It is pretty straightforward. There's one game, so there's one win to Damon, one loss to myself. I wonder
what it is.
And there is a differential of 123 in Damon's favour. So with that, did you have anything to say, actually, Damon, with that?
No, all I'm going to say is I love an underdog, so I'm going to be going for you, Liam. So,
thank you.
Against myself. Yeah. So I guess you're still considered the underdog to bounce back. Not forever. It kind of, you're not like the realms of, hey, I'm a Carlton supporter that hasn't won. Yeah. Yeah, and West Coast. I'm a Carlton supporter who hasn't won a flag. He hasn't seen a flag since 95. So, you know, we're talking about droughts and stuff. There's a bit of a longer drought than 1 year. Let me just say that. So don't feel too bad.
That's it. Very true. Now let's just move straight into our Supercoach wide, good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, it's good. Let's kick it off with the good, which we're going to have here, Maxi Gawn. I was going to call him Maxwell Gawn, like Maxwell Smart. I don't know why. I can't think it kind of stems from when we're talking about Mr. Zachariah Reed, which we still have no understanding, no confirmation if his full name is Zachariah. Is it?
I highly doubt it, but I'll find out.
Or is it just Zachary? I just wish it is also just Zach. Yeah, and I wish there was two Zach Reeds in the competition, so then it could be like you had to use the full name, so it'd be Zachariah, and then we'd find out. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we should slide into his DMs. So being Don's man, just be like, mate, just want to do a totally normal thing and ask you what your full name is. See how that flies.
Yeah, for totally legit purposes.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm sure he'll answer straight away. Very, very promptly, and won't block you at all.
No.
But Maxwell Gawn, I'll stick with that. So he bounced back strongly after many doubted him following his lowly score in round zero, and quite a few jumped off. But he did score 162 this round and was the type of massive ceiling we know and love from the big bearded one. So, keen as a bean and happy that I had him, but totally understand from your perspective as well, Liam, as you mentioned, having English, which I like that as a tactic, zigging while people zag, as I say.
Yeah, I want to make note that I didn't jump off because of his round zero score. Just quickly. It was more I had the cash to then go up to a Gawn, to an English from Gawn, and just thought maybe there was a bit of a pod option there.
Yeah, it is hard when there is a bit of money left over as well, because you're like, well, I have to spend it. Like, might as well put it somewhere. So, again, understand from that perspective as well.
I think the extra cash kind of wasn't going to help necessarily. Like, there wasn't players that I was suddenly like, oh, I'm going to get you instead.
Yeah.
So it kind of made it awkward. But anyway, let's move on to the bad. And we've got a bit of a twofer here. It is Nick Martin and James Harm. So Nick Martin disappointed owners with a score of just 63 from 25 disposals, but it was all the more frustrating as he had the golden halfback distributor role. It was just that he wasn't able to hit a target with a disposal efficiency of just 56% and 4 direct clangers. So who knew? Martin opened up a butcher shop in his spare time. But with his disposal normally his strong suit, I am sure we'll both back him in to bounce back, I think.
Yeah.
And in terms of Harms, meanwhile, he finished on just 35 in a frustrating performance as a higher price cash cow, all but eliminating his early cash cow prospects, and also got himself suspended for a week. So
he did.
Good on you.
But yeah, buddy on you, mate. But I must admit, like, the bloke that he headbutted, surely he's got it coming.
Probably deserved it.
Which is strange to say that another person deserves to be, what is it, the Glasgow Kiss? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, or the Liverpool Kiss.
Liverpool Kiss?
I don't know. I feel like it's everywhere. It's just like.
Well, if you do it in Melbourne, it's a Melbourne kiss.
Yeah, exactly. And
he was doing it to a Melbourne player. So bang, there you go, Melbourne kiss. But he's had his fair share. He's had his fair share considering he got in a fight with.
Isn't it like the second or third fight he's been in? Yeah.
Yeah. Melksham.
With his teammate. Apparently they're good mates as well.
Yeah.
James Harms and Stephen May. So I don't know what was going on there.
It's white line fever. Yeah. And the other one was Campbell Brown, who I think broke Stephen May's jaw. So he's had like multiple breaks in his jaw from his teammates. Like what is he saying? He must be an absolute pest when he gets on the sauce, especially. Yeah. But what is Harms he doing? What are you doing, mate, for owners? That's just ridiculous. But speaking of ridiculous, Len, and there's probably two guys here that should be exempt, but we will mention them because it does hurt us overall, of course. The two young guys, rookies, cash cows that have been injured. But there's another guy who is ridiculous more so. And this is the ugly category. So Josh Gipkus and Zach Reed. So a bit unfair for these two, but again, we will mention them. So both of those youngsters unfortunately went down injured and were subbed for lowly scores. So if you had either on field, like I think most, well, I had Gipkus. I don't know about you, Liam. Did you have?
I had Gipkus on field.
Yeah. So I totally feel for those people that had Gipkus, Reed, and a Sicily, who probably could be in the ugly category as well. There's quite a few ugly
candidates.
Could extend it. Who also got himself suspended, should mention, for tripping, which was interesting. But Gipkus, him especially, like feel for him because he was out all of last year with a hamstring injury, and now he's going to be missing the 2024 season due to tearing his ACL. But with Reed, we're going to await the results on the outlook for his injury. But nonetheless, to have two cash cows go down is bad enough, let alone two defenders. You know, in the one line, it does hurt massively. And, you know, there were other options there, but they didn't really stick out, the lowly priced ones anyway. So,
yeah, the job security on these two was much higher, probably the scoring potential as well. It's just, I think they fit the ugly almost from a football sense, like for the two of them, like two really injury prone players who finally look like they were about to.
Get
a decent run at it, and obviously didn't work out for them. I mean, Reed might just be a short-term, hopefully, thing, but obviously feel for Gibkiss with an ACL.
Actually, you've uncovered a really, really interesting point there with those two youngsters having ravaged injury histories. Thinking back to round zero, who are the two guys that did their ACL? Doherty. Kitty Coleman. Both guys who also... I've had really bad injury histories, and Doc with his obviously health battles off field as well. So I think there's a bit of a link here, and I'm going to put it down to the Supercoach and generally football gods, pull your heads in. That's just absolutely cruel. So hopefully it doesn't continue with any other injury ravaged players like a Nat Fyfe or a Elliot Yeo, for example.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not showing this.
Wrap themselves in cotton wool, please.
Yeah, put themselves in like a big, like one of those domes, one of those balls, those Zorn balls. Go out and play footy like that. Imagine trying to kick the footy and they're like, they've got these little legs. Just kicking out from underneath the Zorn ball. Yeah, but going to be interesting. Like hopefully we're not actually playing this audio next round because Fyfe and Yell have gone down. And if they have, knock on wood. Don't blame me. I've just knocked on wood. No. That's getting rid of all bad juju. But just thought I'd bring that up. It's an interesting link. Uncovered something there. But back to Fisher. So he is the genuine ugly in this case. So he's based on performance alone, of course, injuries aside, and did his best to try and ruin our first round, scoring just 50 after, of course, he came out in his merry way in the preseason, bold body 35-plus disposals, whatever it was, and killed it. And I must say that he reeled many coaches in, hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, I see what
the
you
fish,
did there.
The fish was turning the tables. He was throwing the line back out of the water into the fish in his mouth.
Not me, thankfully.
Yeah, oh, not you.
I was very tempted, but I didn't go for him, thankfully.
Well, how did you not score? Off the back of that, you should have scored, 2,500.
Oh, surely. Come on.
With that, of course, and with round two fast approaching and our first set of price rises courtesy of round zero, let's jump into trade talk, shall we, with the return of The Price is Right.
Show me the money.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Before we kick off with this segment, it may be worth running through a quick refresher on the Supercoach rules for those newbies and the season pros, as season 2024 has had some new rules with the inclusion of round zero. So firstly, rounds 2, 3, 5, and 6 will all be bye rounds in the early part of the season for those teams that did take part in round zero. There'll also be some later buys, I think around round 11 or so, round 12, I don't know, off the top of my head, but around that sort of period for all teams as well. That means we will be playing under the best 18 rules for those games in rounds 2, 3, 5, and 6. Meaning that only the top 18 scores on field will count towards your overall score. We won't receive any extra trades per round for those early buys. We'll have just the, you know, the usual two, unless you do use a boost during that period. And round zero also means that teams who played in that round, or the players that were played in that round, will be appreciating or potentially depreciating in value this week, except for Brisbane and Carlton players who have their buy this round in round two. So that means if you did miss out on any of the popular rookies like Howes, Windsor, Roberts, Jordan, Sexton, Cadman, etc., you will need to bring them in this week to ride that cash rise. So with that in mind, Damon, let's jump into those we need to move on in Gone.
And the first man that is gone is unfortunately that youngster, Josh Kipkus. So as you mentioned, out for the year, did his knee, hasn't had any luck, but silver lining is he's actually priced a little higher than the bottom priced rookies. So can easily trade down to say a Howes if you for some reason don't have him, or a whore, that being the player, not calling anyone else that name, for example, and just banking some of the cash in the process, or bridge the gap in price a little easier in stepping up to a higher priced player like a D'Ambrosio, for example. So have to cut ties, unfortunately, bid him farewell, and no doubt we'll have him in our teams next season, and hopefully he has some luck.
Yes, exactly. Now moving on to the next guy, it is James Harms. In his first official game in the Dogs colours, couldn't get any worse after scoring just 35. Being absolutely, I don't know, I didn't actually see the game, so I don't know if he was bevoed, but I'm just going to assume that any player that scores poorly in a for the Western Bulldogs has been bevoed.
The one man who did get bevoed was the man who we're just, we reckon that he might have just, Bevo's wife may have fallen in love with him and they may be swingers, all that sort of stuff. I think it's got merit, but not that we're starting anything, but just thought we'd mention there's where there's smoke, there's fire. And there was fire, I think, on the bench because Caleb Daniel, he was the starting sub. He's one of the best kicks in their team.
Yeah.
Like, he's incredible.
I just don't get it. There's a difference between being versatile, being a player that's versatile, so therefore you start as a sub, but you're just sort of on that fringe. He's not on the fringe. Anyway.
And it's come from
nowhere.
He would
be starting 22 in pretty much any team in the comp.
100%. I would gladly have him in in the 18 on field. Get him in there. Incredible player. And then it's just come out of the blue. Oh, on the eve of the season, I'm not going to be playing him as much. Why Bevo? Did anyone ask the question, Bevo, is there something going on? Are there any backroom shenanigans? What is happening? That's the reason why we speculate.
We need to get into the media conference. But anyway, James Harms, back onto him.
Back on him.
It did get worse for him after, as we mentioned, he copped a 1-week ban for headbutting his former teammate.
Hey, Maisie, you want a kiss, mate? Kiss? What do you mean?
I just don't get it. Anyway, I haven't seen it, so I have to have a look. We can't afford to wait either if you are looking to jump on a Billings who is on the bubble this week, and we will chat about shortly.
So, yes.
Straight swap. You know what annoys me most? We all got scared off of Billings because he got started as the sub in round one.
Yep.
And I didn't really want Harms. And I went to Harms because I was like, all right, at least he hasn't started as sub.
Yeah. I was the same. I was very tempted to try and bring in Harms because Billings, I think we're both pretty bullish on. And then again, it was like Goodwin was replaced by Bevo for some reason and just played him as a sub. Oh, just strange. It meant that we couldn't choose him. But now we have to waste a trade. So thank you, Goody. Thank you so much. But next up is Charlie Lazaro, had 53% CBAs, the fourth in line behind LDU, Powell, and Wardlaw. But he did very little, unfortunately. Concerningly, looked to be pushed to half forward later in the game also, which is where he's scoring just absolutely fell off a cliff. So I watched that game, didn't like it. I was looking for him at centre-bound setups, wasn't there. Looking to see if he's on the wing, wasn't there. And then when the ball was being sort of pushed down into North's forward line, oh, here he is, drifting into screen. So he's kind of a, probably more of a high half forward, but even so, just didn't suit his scoring at all. So maybe it was an off game. I don't know, but at least we have another week. If you want to wait before you make a decision, because his price, of course, won't change.
Yeah, I'll probably wait a week on him because I've got other issues to deal with. And he's the least of them. Moving on to the next guy, it is Jai Clark, and he is an issue for me at the minute. It's potentially a bit harsh, I guess, to have him in the cut segment, only one game in, but a score of 13, not good enough. And I think his preseason score and his score on the weekend haven't been much to write home about for us, unfortunately. Could probably look to hold another week to see how he does go in game two for the year, but would need to massively improve on his score of 13. Did attend 8 centre bounces, which should help his scoring, but with only 59.5% time on ground, the third lowest for the Cats, including their sub in Manor, it's going to be hard to score well. I mean, he had, what, 13 disposals, 7 kicks, 6 handballs, so pretty even split. Did give away 2 frees against, which would have hurt him. That's it. A score of 13, though. Not good, not good.
That's actually not a bad stat line for, what did you say he played? Was it just over half the game? 56?
Yeah, 59.5% time on ground. Let me have a quick look at his stats in terms of disposal efficiency, because I'm assuming that's where he has lost a lot of points. Yeah, 31% disposal efficiency.
There you go.
There was two players that went at less. One was Tyson Stengel, who went at 29% and was subbed. And the other was Collard, who was the sub for St. Kilda and didn't touch the ball. So therefore went at 0%. But, oh no, he did touch the ball. He got one contested possession, just didn't dispose of it. But yeah, 31%. That explains why he went so poorly.
Very similar as well to his first or only game last year when he actually had less time on ground, 25% time on ground, 26% CBAs, and 6 disposals for 33% disposal efficiency. This is back in round 9, and then he got injured, obviously, and didn't come back. But
it's concerning.
Hopefully it's not a trend. Like, surely he's, like, he wouldn't have been picked up if his disposal efficiency the under-18 champs was like 33%.
Yeah.
I have faith. But I think it's that a lot of guys that fall into that basket, that their disposal efficiency really did kill their scoring output by and large. And of course, Nick Martin is one of those. But that's kind of the perks of having, you know, free looks early in the season before price changes. But yeah, it's kind of makes it a little bit hard when you have other rookies that are on the bubble. Jermaine Zero
also had 7 clangers.
Okay. I wonder it wasn't on bloody negatives.
I know, I'm surprised he actually scored.
He should have been more like Collard and just not touched the ball. That would have
Been better for us.
Exactly. But anyway, poor Jai Clark. Highly owned as well, so.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. And would have been on most people's benches, I'd say.
Exactly right. Yep, he's there to make cash more than anything. Let's move on the chopping block. Let's kick it off with our much-loved Zachariah Reed. Your no doubt you're going to hit him up later, Liam. So he was diagnosed with a as we recorded this, he was diagnosed with a hamstring strain, and the club, as we said, is yet to determine the length of the injury. But it is slightly concerning, must say, having had hamstring surgery last year. I don't know if it was the same hammy. I can't confirm that or deny. I'll continue on. But with the likes of Hoare, Caulfield, and D'Ambrosio yet to play their second game, we can afford to wait a week to get a second look at rookie options to trade to, if you can afford to wait, that is. And it's also worth noting he didn't have ice on his hammy. This is from you, Liam, you've written a nice note here, after being subbed out. So he's potentially on the sort of lower scale side of things when it comes to the strain. But obviously wait to hear something more definitive from the club. You were there, being a Dons man.
I was there. I was watching him on the bench. He did go. So we went down to the rooms, came back up, was getting massaged. Looked like he was going to come back out. And then it was just before halftime. Looked like he was still, like he got up from the massage and we were watching him, and you could just see he was still kind of not grabbing at it, but just kind of feeling at it. And then never came back out from what I saw. So I think I would say they'll be more cautious than anything because there was no ice.
Yeah.
That I saw. But he's been ruled out for round two. Like they've said, he's not playing round two. They just haven't given a more definitive diagnosis, I guess.
Yeah.
I do think he's worth sort of not necessarily holding. If you want to get rid of him or you need to get rid of him for a D'Ambrosio, you could do it. I'd probably, if you've got no other issues, I'd probably wait, hold off, just in case something, like you don't know what's going to happen next round. Anything could happen.
And you can potentially use him as a bit of a loop as well, depending on the rookies you've got on the bench.
Well, so next round is it's best 18 anyway, so you're probably not too. Oh, but yeah, you would need a loop, yeah.
Well, if you've got two, if you've got two healthy players on the bench, two healthy players on the bench, then you put Reed on field, put the emergency on the rookie on the bench that's playing first. If he scores, you know, you kind of have to assess like if it's a decent score and then take the risk, because if you've got more than 18 players and, you know, a player on the bench that you're trying to loophole smashes it, then, you know, they'll obviously come into the best 18. So it's another sort of tactic on top of the best 18. But I did hear though, Liam, because you did mention you went down to the rooms. I do think it was due to the fact that you were calling out and badgering, hey, is your name Zachariah?
That was it. That was
just to get away from you. It's nothing to do with like going down.
He hasn't done a hamstring. He's just trying to avoid going to be at the same game as me.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next. Oh my God, all these guys are called Zach.
Wow. Geez, we're uncovering something here. This is like, what do we got next? Is it neurology somewhere? Like we're speaking about the injury ravaged players going down with ACLs and injuries with Zach Reed, of course.
Yes.
Maybe he should count himself lucky because like we had injury ravaged, like Kitty Coleman, Doc, obviously Gipkiss. Zach Reed can count himself a little bit lucky. Could have been a knee. Should have been a knee with those trends. Yeah. If these trends continue.
Let's move on to the next Zach, though. It is Zach Williams. And his output dropped slightly, scoring just 51 after a 73 in round zero. Pleasingly, though, he was still in the kick-in rotations, but just wasn't able to match his output. The issue here is he is on the bye this coming round. So the question comes down to whether or not you can carry him with D'Ambrosio lighting it up. Many are probably opting to do a virtual straight swap given they're only 8.8K apart. Also, the thing you have to consider is that assuming that if D'Ambrosio matches his score, no, it doesn't even have to match it, just scores pretty much anything this round. He's going to go up in price the same week that you can't get both of their price rises. So it's not like you can get a price rise out of Williams and then get a price rise out of D'Ambrosio. You're going to have to go straight to D'Ambrosio. So if you're going to trade to D'Ambrosio the week after from Williams, you're probably better off doing it this week so you at least get another player playing.
Yeah, because I think
I don't know, he's not on the bubble. It's all a bit of a risk.
Yeah. Well, the projected price rise for D'Ambrosio, I imagine, is going to be more than Williams.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
A lot of people would have got Williams as a bit of a cash cow, so and as well as on-field scoring as well. But that's part of the reason why D'Ambrosio's put his hand up now, because it's like, well, he's kind of in that position now with going to be a nice little cash cow potentially if he can continue his good scoring and, you know, be nice playing cash cow on field.
Yes.
But the other one is Zach Fisher running us out for all things Zach. You could potentially put him into the next category of weight and hold him for another week. The role was there for the new Roo. Had 21 disposals with 17 kicks and went at 76% disposal efficiency, but also led the Kangaroos for clangers with 7, which is the equivalent of 1/3 of his disposals, which is pretty telling. He had 4 kick-ins, which was the third most for North, which is good. And the biggest concern with him is he would appear to be third on the list for the attacking defender role, with Sheezel and McKercher both looking less suspect in the role and more solidified. So you could move him on if you don't trust him, or keep him one more week to fully assess. And it comes down to, I think, like planning and like with me, for example, I'm probably giving away my trade secrets here from my upcoming team review video, but a bit of a morsel here. I'm thinking of potentially like other. If Billings wasn't on the bubble, I would more than likely hold Zach Fisher and get another look. Just because, yes, his disposal efficiency wasn't the best, like in terms of clangers, that held him back. And I want to make sure that his role is still there, which I think is a little bit questionable at various stages compared to Sheezel and McKercher. And I'm a little bit worried long-term of Fisher's role in the team. Like if he continues on, like I saw there was moments there where he was made to play as a genuine defender, and he was even caught out, which I don't know if it was his fault, but he's caught out playing on Brown, the Callum Brown, I think it is, tall player for the Giants. And I was just like, what the hell's happening here? But if he's made to be more of, you know, just a genuine defender, or at least balancing becoming, you know, a genuine defender slash attacking defender at various stages, I think he might find himself unstuck, which just worries me. But back to that point, I'm just planning on potentially moving Fisher on to Billings, because Billings is on the bubble, and banking the cash to then bring in another player who I won't reveal who it is, but who I'm thinking of doing. So I have to just tune in for that. But yeah, something to think about. I can see both sides of the argument.
I think, yeah, I tend to agree. I think if you aren't grabbing a player that's on the bubble this week, I'd look at Fisher again.
Mm, yep.
100%. I think there's a difference between that and Zach Williams, who, like, I just think most people are going to go Zach Williams to a D'Ambrosio. And if you do it, there's value in that, because you can't carry both of their price rises. They're not both going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it's not like, because I just think we've got to remember that Carlton aren't rising in price despite playing in round zero. They've got the normal price rise. So,
yeah.
Unfortunate. Because if you could have got a price rise out of Williams, then it would have been good, because you would have been able to sort of get a sort of a double hit almost in terms of cash. Or it's not a double hit, but just a slight increase. But anyway, I do agree. I think Fisher, you could hold. You could also trade. I don't think there's any definitive answer there. It's going to come down to your structure and your planning for the week ahead as well. Let's move on to the weight options. And these are guys that basically we suggest you should hold. But people are looking to trade out, and there's some merit in it, I think. But I think both of these guys should be players that you do look to hold. So first up, it is my boy Nick Martin. Let's all take a step back and wait before we go dumping Nick Martin. I feel like there's a lot of rage trading going on here.
Yeah, and shoot from the hip.
Yes, exactly. Shooting from the hip. Butchered the ball, 100%. Only managing a score of 60. But the key thing here is he had the role. He had 25 disposals, majority of those being kicks, and even took three kick-ins and kicked a behind. Had he gone at his usual disposal efficiency of around 73%, kicked that goal, which he probably would have normally kicked, he would have been up there with a score of probably 100+. If the role wasn't there, 100% I'd be looking to trade, but give him another week. Like, I think he went at 53% off memory. That was like his lowest disposal, or 56, I think, 56%. That's his lowest disposal efficiency in his career. So like the worst that I think he's ever been, or it was either his worst or second worst. Went at 73% as an average last year for his disposal efficiency.
That's a big difference.
Had games in the 80s and the 90s, like percent. So, you know, there's a big difference. I'm not too concerned, to be perfectly honest, and I think next week. Keep in mind as well, Redmond's going to be out. He took the majority of the kick-ins for the Dons.
Ah, yes, good point.
The only other player that I can see doing majority is probably McGrath. He took the next biggest amount, and then Nick Martin. So Nick Martin's going to get a bit of a bump next round in terms of kick-ins, you'd expect. So, yeah, I would be holding fire, give him another week, and then look to trade him. He's not going to buy. Just keep him his best 18 for the next week, and then assess how he goes next week. If it still looks poor, then I'd be looking to move him on.
Yeah, you made a really good point there. Just want to highlight that. Like, in terms of, like, it doesn't fall in line with his career average, like his disposal efficiency. It's not as if we're talking about a Warple. Again, sorry to kick him when he's down. But last year, like we spoke about him this time last year, people were jumping on him. We were like, well, disposal efficiency can really waver, and had, you know, glimpses of that. But when it comes to Nick Martin, this game on the weekend just shows that it was an outlier more than anything, talking in numbers terms or like an anomaly, because it's not the norm. So you can't really expect him to score that lowly and, you know, off the back of, you know, be impacted by his own poor disposal. So I think people should definitely give him another week, even more so than, you know, if I'm comparing him to a Zach Fisher, for example. I'm more confident in Nick Martin because he's, as you said, 100% got the role, and that's key here.
Yeah, exactly. I missed the start of the match, but I was watching it on KO as I was making my way in. And his first kick out, the ball didn't leave the ground. Like, absolute, I don't know what he did. And I was like, oh, shit, like, he's not going to be on. Like, this is like such a weird thing to see for him.
Set the tone.
And even, like, Don's Twitter was just going off. It was just like, So the best tweet I think I saw was, can someone go out there and turn Nick Martin on and off again? Because like it was like he was malfunctioning because he is one of the best kicks in that side. So yeah, interesting. But yeah, definitely wait and hold. I would say I think don't jump off too early yet. Give him another week, and then move him on if he fails again.
Yeah, exactly right. And we've already seen examples of this happening. You know, Max Gawn, exactly. McKercher, Grundy as well. Like Grundy is just as likely to bounce back this week. You know, take it with a grain of salt. If it's not the norm, then yeah.
Yeah, and I think look to his – remember why we selected him? Like look back to his round – to his preseason match where he did – I don't know what he went at in that game.
Well, it's like you know, Gawn, for example. People jumped off him after round zero, got touched up, and then, you know, people were so quick to forget. Only like the week prior when he played in the official preseason game against Carlton, scored 184 or something. Like just completely ridiculous numbers, and people – yet are still so quick to forget that and, you know, be reactionary. And, you know, it's that recency bias, I think, that's just linked with, you know, Supercoach that people kind of fall into the trap of. So you've got to kind of delve a bit deeper and look at the trends and whatnot. But what have you found, Liam?
Just for context, went at 75% in that preseason game. Had 28 disposals, so 3 extra disposals. Did kick 2 goals. He had 4 clangers from those 28 disposals. So... I don't know what he. I don't know what he scored. It was in the hundreds, and I think that shows the difference. Had he kicked it, you know, even at 70%, his score would have been completely different.
Yeah, interesting one. But yep, everyone knows where we stand, and we'll check back in this time next week and see how he fares. And no doubt, we've got the faith. We've got the faith. He'll turn it around.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let's move on to the next guy, and it is Hayden Young, and a bit of a surprising one actually, but he's had a score of 70, and it's not obviously what we were hoping for from him, who we thought, you know, this guy being, you know, pushed into the midfield, ready to take the next step. We saw late last year, you know, the sort of last third of the season when he was absolutely smashing it in the engine room. But just looking at his stats again, a bit deeper. So on the weekend, he had 24 disposals and went at 67% disposal efficiency and pushed back as the defensive, or one of the defensive options in Frio's defensive line. When they all started dropping like fires, Oscar McDonald went down injured. There was Cox, I think, wasn't it? He was playing forward at the time, went down injured. So many guys that were just injured, and they just needed troops down there. So it was kind of no surprise that JL actually did shift Young back. I mean, he's kind of, that's his bread, that's where he's been playing at senior level prior to being in the engine room. So it kind of makes sense for him to sort of plug holes by using Young. But yeah, I think off the back of that, I'd give him definitely another week and watch his role. You know, the big question is, do Frio, because they're depleted in defense now, do they need to throw him back to cover more often for those defenders they've lost? And if he does, is he still worth holding? You know, we know what he scored last year in terms of his average, and obviously doesn't stack up to what he can average was when he's in the engine room. So having said that, could be an easy correction trade to the likes of, say, a Sheasel, if you haven't got him, or any of the defenders in defence there that are primo worthy. Will Powell, exactly right, Liam, who, yeah, you know, a bit of an added extra to it, is a bit of a pod. So, there are guys out there if need be, but fingers crossed he doesn't.
We don't need like to
at
do
least,
that.
Yeah, we don't need to do it. Or, you know, that he isn't actually pushing defense at all. Or if he is, he's done so sparingly just for rotations and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. I agree. I just wait and see. And maybe a Freo supporter can enlighten us to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just one thing to consider, I guess. I don't know what I think I'd be holding regardless, even if he is named in the back line, just because just because he is named there doesn't mean he'll play there. Just see. But if he does play majority back, we may need to reconsider and look at correcting that ahead of round three. So now let's move on to the players that we need to look at getting in this round. And we're going to kick off with Massimo D'Ambrosio. And he led the way for the Hawks with 29 disposals, 15 of which were kicks, playing predominantly in the defensive half. Had a score of 122, which will help him quickly rise in cash. But do remember that he isn't on the bubble till next week, so you can certainly hold out another week before bringing him in. When I say next week, I mean not this round. You don't need to get him this round specifically.
Yeah.
So one caveat on this is his style does rely on him being able to find width in the field. If you have a look at his heat map from the weekend, he is predominantly finding space to the left side of the field and out wide particularly. So potentially works well on the MCG with the wide ground. Mm. Smaller grounds may see a bit of an issue for him. And for those teams that may be able to limit his ability to sort of spread in that way. Still think, though, that he should make some quick cash, so should be a correction if you haven't got him. I personally think I will be going from, what's his name, Williams to D'Ambrosio, because I think you're going to make more cash more quickly. The question, there is probably questionable job security for him as well. I don't think he'll get bumped out, but long-term, I don't think he'll, like long-term job security, I'd question. But if he keeps playing the way he did on the weekend, should hold his spot.
Yeah. And Supercoach Plus has him projected at this stage anyway to potentially go up 44, nearly 45K in the round for his first price rise. So, and that's with a projected score of 49 across the next two rounds. So you'd think he should eclipse that and sort of been pushing towards, 55, 60K plus rise in one round. So yeah, he's definitely one to keep an eye on if you're not bringing him in this week. Let's move on to the other guy who is really just shooting out the lights. It is our old favorite, Liam, Isaac Heaney. So Isaac Heaney, he has a break even now of negative 12. And the Heen machine, as I'll dub him, continued his hot start to the season. He scored 136 after a 144 in round zero. And finally, we say this all the time because it's only fleeting, but finally, Horse has given him bulk time in the middle due to injuries, and that's virtually the only reason why. But he had 64% CBAs, which was the second most of any Swan, and he's returning bulk scores as a result. The conundrum here, though, is will the Swans be able to, you know, fit him in the engine room as much as what they are now? When they, you know, bring back the likes of Adams, Parker
Mills,
all that sort of stuff. So
yeah,
on top of that, from a structural standpoint, comes down to whether or not you in your team can fit Heaney into your side and afford to potentially carry another Sydney player with an upcoming early buy in round five, especially given that they shared the buy with another highly owned primo in Dacos's Magpies. So nonetheless, with a break even of negative 12, Supercoach Plus has him potentially rising close to 80K in price before he heads into his buy from three price cycles. And that is awfully tempting and could potentially become a top six keeper. But like I said, with the return of Parker, Mills and Adams, is he going to get those CBAs and will his output suffer or continue along the same lines? But regardless, I think if you want him, you're going to have to obviously act now, given that he is on the bubble. We did, I think, mention as well in a previous episode that historically when he's playing predominantly as a forward, he can average, you know, 80-odd, 90-odd, which in this, you know, 2024 season where there's very few primo forward options, those averages could potentially be top six worthy, scores or averages. So, yeah, I do like him, I think, as a keeper, but it's whether or not you want to sort of do what I'm doing, which is I've started with him, which is funny to hear, considering that he is a burn man. But I've started with him with the intention of flipping him to Flanders after Flanders has his bye and before Heaney goes on to his bye. So it means that, you know, virtually it's a primo for a primo. I'm not having to gobble up Flanders' bye, and I'm not having to gobble up Heaney's bye that's upcoming. So it affords me a bit of cover there. But I can still see also as well the merits in, if you do have him, keeping him if you can, and just riding it until, you know, if it does come to pass that he plays more time up forward. But, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
I think if you've got him now and you do bank those points, there's a difference. It's different if you do hold him for the, that time as a forward. Like, you're getting him averaging well. Like, if you pick him up when he becomes a forward, he's probably going to go revert back to an average from that point of around that 80 to 90 mark. It's just hard. Yeah. You've got to think about when you trade him in, because obviously the points that have he scored don't count towards your team.
Yeah, it's from then on.
When he's not in then. So I feel like I should be getting him in, but I'm not going to at this stage. And I think when I say I'm not going to get him in now, it's just that I don't think I think it's going to throw out my structure to try and get him in. And I think I'm willing to accept that.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, you shouldn't rip apart your team.
And I think, I'm not going to rip apart my team for Heaney and then have him go back in a round or two to maybe play more predominantly as a forward. And then going back, reverting back to an 80 to 90 average. Potentially, he's going to go up in price massively. I mean, he's got a minus 12 break even now. But by the time I potentially bring him in, maybe he's also dropped down in that price because he has gone forward and started playing and getting lower scores. So I don't know. I have no issue. I would be bringing him in if I could, but I don't think I have a way of doing it this round.
Yeah, I think he kind of either has to be F1 or F2. And I think you said you've got Jackson, like myself.
Got Jackson, yeah.
So Heaney's my Flanders. F2, and you got Flanders as well. So you can't really afford, I think in structure terms, I think it's a bit too much to try and bring Heaney in as your F3. But everyone's different if you want to get in that route. But I think if you are, you're kind of having to skimp from somewhere else, leech from somewhere else in your team in order to bring him in. Unless, of course, you are maybe using someone like a Zach Fisher as a stepping stone, but you'll need a fair bit of cash to do it. But last thing I will say, which has just come to mind here because it isn't on the run sheet, is that Heaney actually will qualify for DPP midfielder forward status in round 6. So from me anyway, in trading him out, it might make it easier to try and trade him back in if it looks like he's going to be a top 6 forward by trading a midfield cash cow to Heaney, and you're not necessarily having to, you know, find DPP switches to switch a mid cash cow up forward to bring in, you know, Heaney if he was only a forward. But just something to come to mind. But all stuff that needs to be taken into consideration.
Yep, agreed. Now let's move on to Matty Rowell. He has a break even of 25. And obviously it has the price rise this round. The grass-eating mammal once more caught... the grass-eating mammal once more... I do like that. Once more caught our attention with a massive 155 to follow on from the 137 the round prior. With 29 disposals, 10 tackles, and a goal, it was a scintillating performance from the former number one pick, who seems to have taken the next step in his game. Is he this year's Tom Green breakout candidate? He is one you'll need to grab heading into round 2 if you wanted him, given he is on the bubble and projected to rise 55k across the next 2 weeks. So keep in mind that he has the round 3 by.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if he doesn't fit into your structure, don't go for him. If you started with him like Abs Magic, the Squadfather did, all power to you. But I think for me anyway, again, I don't want to be tearing apart my structure in order to try and fit him in. Because again, if I had that coin, I would have started with LDU, who I passed up. So, and it hurts me now seeing LDU scoring well. So I would go for him instead because I'm a little bit unsure, you know, unless you've seen a decent enough sample size with Rowell anyway, for me, I'm just kind of like, I'll just sit back and watch. And, you know, he may turn out to be a top 8 scoring mid and we will need to eventually get him in. But it comes down to structure, risk, all that sort of stuff. Alrighty, let's move on to the next one. And it is his teammate in the running man, Took Miller. He does have a break even of 49. So Liam, we've written here, guess who's back, the old Took. So it is the running man. He is back. Backed up his score of 116 with a monster 137 against the Crows.
Yes.
And the wet conditions, they suited him as he amassed 29 disposals, 19 of which were contested, and 9 tackles. Loved a hug. He must have been so, like, cold weather, wet, windy, all that sort of stuff. Give me a cuddle. Makes sense. Good stuff, Tookie. All Supercoach Bliss will be one of the value options of the year, priced at $545.5K. You could alternatively look to wait for his buy in round three to get him in, but with a projected score of 94, according to Supercoach Plus, he will go up by over 20K this week. And let's be honest, he could go up much more playing down at Mar Stadium against the Doggies, because he is mentioned. I will provide a little bit of a spoiler here in our I am the captain now. So we will run through him. It's just
19
quickly,
degrees, but no chance of rain at this stage.
Yes. So he's only played at Mars Stadium, I think, once or recent times in a way, and he scored 59 points. So we'll wait and see what happens. But nonetheless, I think back him in. I think at that price point anyway that we've mentioned, 545.5K, extreme value. Like we spoke about it in the preseason, and I had to find a way to get him in. I was just worried about his role. Again, running trend here. When it comes to a player, if the role is good, if it's pure, get him in. And it was with Tookie.
Exactly. Just think about the pure role.
It's pure. Not diluted by him going up forward or down in defense. None of that shit. He's 100%. It's kind of like, not exactly right. It's like Heisenberg when he's making his blue crystal. It's like 99% or 98.9% pure. So that's what you know.
That's it. That's what you want.
As Tuco would say in Breaking Bad, it's
tight, yeah. Blue, yellow, pink. Whatever, man. Just keep bringing me that.
That's what it is when he gives it a nice bit snort of the, not that we endorse any of that. But I'm just personally, I'm snorting a bit of Tookie Miller. And I must say, he is pure. And he is tight. Okay, let's move on.
I am jumping straight into Sam Flanders. Stupid sexy. He is back. And another player punishing those with recency bias that may have dropped him from their teams off the back of one ordinary game in the preseason. As a result, Flanders has reminded us all of his quality with a score of 128 after a 124 in round zero, which sees his break even at just 22 and in line for a nice price rise of 36.6K heading into his buy in round three. Much like Tuk-Tuk, you could opt to wait until after his buy to get him in. So you're not having to carry him as a non-playing player in round three. And don't fear, you won't be losing out on value as he's predicted to rise another 20K after he returns in round four. That being said, I don't think you're picking him now as a cash cow. You're picking him as a keeper. If you can afford to wait, if you can afford to give up 20K, yeah, might be the way to go.
Yep, 100%. And if you're like me, you've got the burn man to trade to him.
Yep.
That's a tactic. I do like it. I love the look of Sam Flanders. And another guy I love the look of is Jack Billings, break even of 5. And he is someone that we all got scared off by after he was named as the sub in round one for a score of just 11. And we all thought his cash generation would be absolutely kaput off the back of that. But with a score of 119 on the weekend, we've seen what he can do. And he's all but reset his cash generation on the back of it. Don't we love to see that?
Yes.
Get him in this week before he goes up in price, but we'll have the buy in round six, so keep that in mind. And hopefully he can make some decent bank and we can move him on by then.
Yes, get him in. I hate Goody right now. Sorry. Absolutely hate him.
He's not doing it for you?
No. Billings. I know I love Billings, but not Goody.
Goody's not doing it for you. Goody's a baddie.
All right. Kills me. I had Billings in all preseason. Took him out because of the sub. The fucking arms.
Yep. And by extension as well.
Glasgow kissed me by being in my side.
And you can blame Goody as well by extension because he traded him, Harms, to the Dogs. And you're like, okay, new role, new opportunity. I'll get a Harms in my team. So blame Goody. It's all Goodwin's fault. He's the burn coach. But yeah, 100%. I was the same thing. But I think now we've got to get him in. And thank you, Goody, for making us waste a trade on getting Billings in when we otherwise would have started him. But anyway, shall we move on to the next category, which is on the bubble limb? Who have we got first up?
Yes, first up, we've got Matt Roberts, break even of minus 58. So the young Swan has been going from strength to strength, scoring 76 and 69 in his first two games to give one of the lower break evens of rookies to target. I was going to say, why do so many players score 69? Like,
they do it for
we
lols.
say, I swear every episode there's at least one player we're talking about who's got a 69 in it.
Or is it champion data being like, oh, well,
yeah,
Roberts is on 71. Let's scale him down to 69. Hey, yeah. And it's just like an ongoing gag by them. Like, yeah, go on, champion data. You absolute jokers. Yeah. They're gag men. They love a good gag.
Exactly. Yeah, they do, don't they? Especially when they're scaling down certain players.
I was going to say, especially when they're gagging on Bont.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, he is relishing his role off halfback. Although the only downside is his kick-ins dropped from 50% to just 11%, but showing he isn't reliant on those kick-ins to score, which is positive. If you are in the minority that don't own him, get on him as he is projected to max out at close to 120K in appreciation in his price.
Get on. Get on him. Next up, we have Alex Sexton, break-even of negative 62. Don't think it's better here with the break-evens in the negative territory. So the forward-turned-running defender has put up two reasonable showings with scores of 73 and 63. He is projected for a score of 44 on the weekend, according to Supercoach Plus, against the Dogs, which would see him increase just under 50K this week alone. He then has the round three bye and should add another 22K the week after if he scores a 42. If he can manage to maintain his average of 68, his price will rise much quicker though, which I think at this stage, you can probably bank on that happening. So if you haven't got him for some reason, get him in. Another guy, just get him in.
Agreed. I don't know why you wouldn't have him in at this stage. Mm-hmm. Most would. But anyway, let's move on to the next guy, and it is Aaron Cadman, has a break even of minus 56, and he is... The key position forward has done exactly what we needed, kicking two goals in both of his games to help inflate his scoring. He managed to score a 72 on the weekend, and the key difference was his increase in tackles, laying three compared to the zero he did have against the Pies the week before. If he can score well against the hapless Eagles, could set himself up for a decent price rise before his buy in round three. A score of just 39, as is projected by Supercoach Plus, would see him increase by 44K this week. So there is potential for him to go up quite well.
Exactly. Get on him. Again, comes down to the fixture of him. Could kick an absolute bag. Look at Hogan. He's kicked, 10 goals in his first two games. He should have another day out. And, Cadman could do likewise as well with a bit of overflow. Next up, we have Charlie Dean. And he has a break-even of negative 43. So his job security and scoring potential are both suspect, we must mention, unfortunately. And while he is an option coming into defence for those with Gipkus, he may not be the best, especially if you miss the likes of Howes. Has been consistent in his scoring across round zero and round one with scores of 55 and 57, but the question will be whether he holds his spot this week against the Saints. He has been serviceable, but their smaller forward line outside of King may see him as surplus to their needs in defence. Probably the least important guy, I think, on this list to consider, just because even though his break-even is, it's pretty good in terms of, as you just mentioned, like job security and scoring potential, pretty shaky. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think he is holding out, or at least anyway, not holding out because Nathan Murphy still doesn't even know if he's going to be making a return to footy due to repeated concussions. Mm. So there may be a longer term role for Charlie Dean, but I think nonetheless, with the role that he plays as a defender, unless he's an intercepting defender, which I think Jeremy Howe more so is, Maynard is, all those guys back in the defence for the Pies. So probably down the pecking order in terms of that juicy role in defence. So for me, I'll be passing him up.
Agreed as well. Moving on to the last guy, it is Blake Howes, break-even of minus 86, with I think the lowest of all the break-evens of all of the rookies. He is simply a must-own. 48% of teams jumped on him following his round zero gift score of 91, and he's followed up with a score of 64 that sees Supercoach Plus having projected to make 60.2K alone in round two. Don't get left behind, as he is one of the keys to making cash for your first upgrades, so get on him.
100%. Get on it. Get on him.
And just before we round out, a couple of other players that are on the bubble this week that we'll just mention. I'll mention now, but I don't think there's many that I would consider. Darcy Gardner, 187.8K. He has scored. Yeah, exactly. He has scored 40. He's got an average of 48.5 across the two rounds. Maurice Rioli. He has an average of 50.5 across his two games. Thomas Berry, I will say, he's got an average of 83. He scored 104 on the weekend, forward for the Suns, 163.5K, one that you could consider. But just, I don't know, a bit concerned about him more generally.
Yeah.
And his role. Kai Lohman for the Brisbane scored 17 in round one, scored about 30, I think, in round zero. Being the sub, wouldn't look at him. Bodie Ulland, defender, hasn't been too bad. Got an average of 49 across those two games. There's also Jacob Wehr, 123.9K, average score of 47 across the two games. Seth Campbell, 123, average of 50.5, but a 31 on the weekend. And Harvey Thomas, who mid-forward, 117.3K, he's got an average of 42.5, and scored 45 on the weekend. So I think of those guys, maybe, I mean, you could potentially look at a Berry, but of the others that we haven't mentioned, I'm not, I think that's probably the only one I'd consider, but even then, it's only really off the back of one.
Yeah, decent.
One good score.
The thing with Berry as well, must make mention, is like looking at last year, he played, what's that, six games, and three of those he was either the starting sub or subbed off. So I still think, even though, yes, it's a different coach, with the role that he plays up forward, the Broncos obviously got Holman there. They've got Ainsworth as well, who's pushing more up the ground. But I just think he still falls into that potential sub category for me, which no doubt will obviously put a bit of a ceiling at times on his scoring potential and obviously cash making potential as well. So being a cash cow, that's paramount. But
that being said, I will say if the score of 52 on the weekend, he would go up 58, almost 60K. And then in round four after his bye, with the score of 53, he'd go up another 40K. So there's already 100K in
essentially
two rounds.
Yeah.
So there is upside to him. I'd actually, it's just, it depends.
I was going to say, just would you consider, because, and we haven't really spoken about tactics with regards to, which we can easily cover off in our team discussion or review videos, just because, we don't want this episode to span out too long. But just in terms of using the boost, last year I went in with a tactic of, going pretty hard pretty early, and I think it helped get back into the game. And I think it probably comes down to how many cash cows you have, but loading up on the best cash cows. And I would potentially consider using a boost to bring in a Tom Berry. But just looking at my team, I don't know who I could cull for him.
That's the biggest issue.
I've got the likes of, you obviously can't move Reed. Gipkus, you can't move. I've obviously got Windsor, Carroll, Clark. You could potentially do it on if you wanted to sort of cut ties with him early.
Having to upgrade. There's an upgrade there. Lazaro could be one if you do have
Lazaro.
Him.
Yep, down. He's probably that's the gonna... only one in my team. I think
Sanders
boost
is the other one
on
that's concerning though. With him being subbed, I'd give him another week, of course. But that's just my only concern with him having been the sub. His break even's still 26.
Yeah. That was a strange one.
Yeah.
Because he was right up there. Yeah, he's Bevo. He got Bevo'd. Yeah. Who would have thought got Bevo'd in round one?
Yeah.
But fair point with probably all of those ones that you mentioned.
Yeah,
Tom
he's
Berry.
Probably the only one outside of that that I would consider just because his break even is, let me just get it up, minus 75.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So he's probably second best break even there behind Howes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Maybe you take a flyer on him. But again, if you are in desperate need of cash cows, get him in. And I'm thinking because I've got Lazaro and I still don't have Sharp either. And you've probably got to think as well, like in terms of if you're planning to use three trades next week and you might need to bring in Sharp and then maybe use, a correction trade on someone else. And then the third one, it's like, well, if there's another two cash cows, you won't be able to bring obviously both of those in. You can only use one trade on one. So you'd have to go early on a cash cow this round if you're trying to target, multiple cash cows. So I don't mind the merits of doing it. If you'd like to stick fat with Lazaro, if you, you know, if you want to, you have a second look, fair enough. Sample size of one, but.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you could probably look at Lazaro's score in the preseason as well. And try and create a little bit more of a
basis of, yeah.
The thing, though, that we need to probably, just a point we need to make, is the importance of getting your cash cows right now. Like, that's what you should be focusing on. I would probably be ignoring a Heaney over a cash cow.
Yep, 100%.
And even if it is a plain cash cow like Billings, Billings is a cash cow. D'Ambrosio is a cash cow. High priced, but a cash cow.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd be focusing on them over the likes of a Heaney or a Flanders or a Took.
Exactly. Well, end of the day, the cash cows are the ones that help you. Like, they're your ticket to getting in a big primo team coming into the year. Without them, you're stuffed. You're chasing your tail. You're going around in circles. You don't have the cash to upgrade. So, yeah, very, very good point to make, and we should underline that. I'm now considering Tom Berry off the back of that. But down the list, I think for me anyway, and I'm pretty happy with all of my rookies that I've got thus far. It's just whether or not I need to decide if I keep the faith in Lazaro and maybe target him next week. If I don't have, you know, if I can afford to use three trades and fit in another player. But yeah, Tom Berry obviously on the bubble, so you'd need to do it this week. With that, Liam?
Yes.
What does that leave us with? There's another segment, isn't it? It's a usual segment. It's one that I think a lot of people have been wanting to hear us say. We didn't actually say it last week. As a bit of a, you know.
We did.
Throwing out the bait.
What is it, Damon?
Well, mind me for a second, because you can probably see it if you're watching on YouTube. It's in the background here, collecting dust. I haven't worn it for a little while. It is, of course.
What do you mean?
The captain's hat.
I wear it every day.
And it is. I'm the captain
now.
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
I want this season, I want to get some viewers to send in their best rendition of I'm the captain now.
Exactly. That's a good time to make that point, because we did the call out, I think it was a bit too late last year, and we only had maybe one or two people do it. But 100%. Send it in. Like, hit us up, Twitter/X, Facebook, even via email, which is, what is it, AFLSupercoachEdge@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Look at that. See, I could be doing your job at the start, Liam, and end.
Coming for my job. Yes, anyway, yes, please do email us.
Yeah.
I wanna hear it.
Exactly. Sick of us doing it. I mean, we have fun doing it, but we want to hear, like, the good people, the good folk, Liam. those people, you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Still haven't been cancelled yet. It'll happen one day. It's definitely coming. So we're straddling the line. We're about to cross it. But anyway, Liam, I'm the captain now. For those people tuning in for the first time, they're probably thinking, what the hell is this? What is going on? You haven't even spoken about what this segment is yet. You just rabbit it on for bloody a million years about some captain's hat that you've got and just talking absolute shit, which we do.
And sending in some recording of yourself.
Record yourself saying, I am the captain now. Like, oh, well. For those people tuning in, new people, that is a segment. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, that is it.
Yeah, that's the show. But Liam, as you take a bit of a sip of your cold glass of a Pepsi Max to wet the whistle from saying I'm the captain now. For those people tuning in, what is I'm the captain now?
Yes, in I'm the captain now, we chat about what VC and C options you've got for the upcoming round of Supercoach. And as always, we look through the data and we find some of the best options for you to consider. We have narrowed it down a little bit more than what we were doing last year, just to a few top options to consider. So first up, we have none other than Nick Dacos, and he just hasn't slowed down and he isn't showing any signs of doing so, as he now comes up against the Saints. In his past two games, he has averaged 113 with scores of 128 and 98 against the Saints. And after scores of 131 and 135 to start 2024, could he again reach 130 plus, or will Ross, the boss, try to substitute him?
Yeah, bit of the old cooler effect which he has done in the past with Sicily, as we know. So I don't know who they'd use to run with him, but we'll wait and see. Winhager, maybe. Mm. Who knows? The other interesting prospect is Maxwell Gawn. So Gawn, he faces the Hawks.
It's not Maximilian.
Maximilian. See, there's multiple names. There's multiple versions.
You hit up Maxie and ask him what his name is, and I'll get Zach Reed.
I have the feeling he'd be more receptive and be like,
he would also be like, yeah, I'm here for it.
Yeah, and he'd follow along and be like, no, I'm actually Maxwell. Or leave his guessing, like Maximilian. Yeah. Maximilian, what is it? Maximilian, I used to work with a guy named Maximilian, and I couldn't work it out. I was like, why is it Maximilian? Why not just Max? Like, if I was named Maximilian, I'd be like, just call me Max. It is a unique name, like my name, quite unique, very strange. So I could have been called Maximilian, who knows?
Yes, because David and Maximilian are so similar.
Well, I don't know what baby book my folks are looking at, but very strange. Maximilian. I was ahead of the time. When I was wearing an onion on my belt. Bad feature to it.
Which was the style at the time? No!
So Max Gawn. So he actually has his career best average against the Hawks with 131.7. Could he be in for a big score this week? His last two scores against them, though, were 94 and 91, but his two before that were 172 and 172. There's the numerology. There we go. Look at that. Bang, bang.
That's it.
What are the chances of 172 back-to-back? Incredible. So the question that we're asking, which Gawn will show up? Will it be Maxwell or Maximilian?
What is Maxi?
You're just Maxi. Now, Maxi's like bloody Glenn Maxwell. He's a gun. But what should we work out? So we'll refer to Gawn as either Maxwell or Maximilian based upon his performance week to week. So should we say Maxwell? And people listening and tuning in, let us know in the comments as well, or just hit us up.
I'm going to say Maximilian is sub 100.
So he's the villain. So he's the
villain. Maximilian, that's 100% a villain name.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Sorry to that he used to work with. I'm sure he wasn't very off the back.
Sorry to anyone tuning in with that exact name as well. Here you go, buddy, offending people. You might as well call them you people as well. You people, Maximilian.
Okay, but of Maxwell... Maxwell Smart, it was not the bad guy, so he can't be the bad guy.
Yeah, it's true. Maxwell, yeah.
Of those three names, I'm just process of elimination, all right?
Yep, okay. That's good. Yeah, that makes sense.
Don't come to my DMs or you Maximilians out there.
Maximilian could be a Bond villain. Could be a Bond villain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so Maximilian is sub 100.
Yep.
Between 100 and 125, so non-captain, so above 100 but below captaincy.
Yep.
Is Maxwell.
Yep.
And Maxi is anything above 125.
Yep. That's like Glenn Maxwell, like just clearing the ropes, like smashing double centuries, all that sort of stuff. So I like it. I like it. That's set in stone.
I reckon that's it. Done.
Yep. Let us know what your thoughts are, but we're going to be rolling.
No, I don't want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. That's it. I don't hear any thoughts. Exactly. Apart from Gawn himself, just my gauge his thoughts.
Yeah. If he's happy with that.
Yeah.
Little do we know that his name is actually Maximilian and he's going to be really offended by this. But
exactly. I want to see his birth certificate. What does it say on it? I need confirmation. same as Zachariah.
Yeah. Can you please send me, just slide your dear, can you please send me your birth certificate?
Totally normal thing to do. 100%.
Anyway, next option is Marcus Bontempelli. Le Bont, as we like to refer to him, delivered a ton first up to the tune of 126 and now faces the Suns, who he averages 105.5 against from 11 games, with his most recent scores reading 124, 130, and 133. Is Le... Bloody hell.
You like this? You like this? Yep. This is good.
Hang on. Is Le Bont, Le Loche as El Capitano?
Exactly. As I was typing, I was like, you're going to absolutely love this.
Oh, my God, I'm going to have a stroke right now.
Why do you talk that way? I had a stroke.
Is Le Bont Le Loc as El Capitano?
Yes.
Yes, we both think he is, yes. Well, let's move on to Matty Rowell. So big Matty Rowell is on a hot streak of form with a score of 137 and 155. He scored the last time he faced the Bulldogs, 159. If you got him... get on him.
Playing at Mars.
Mm.
Be out of this world.
Oh, very good. Hey, look at all the gags coming left, right, and center. Jeez, this could be the best I'm the captain now yet.
You're good.
We've spoken about anything but running through like serious stats.
I also love that we were meant to sharpen these up, but I think it's going longer now.
You're right. Descended into absolute chaos, but which tends to happen at the end of back end of our episodes.
Yes.
But also on good authority, Mars Stadium, good conditions, great grass. So Matty Rowell is going to be just salivating at the thought of chomping down. Excited. Not only, what was that?
He's going to get excited going down there for some delicious Mars Stadium grass. Anyway, moving on. Tuk Miller, the running man, has had an up and down pass with the Dogs, scoring 59, 120 and 96 in his past three. But with a 116 and 137 to start 2024, he is certainly in decent nick. So it could be another option for you.
Yep, recent form is good form. To round us out, it is the man, the big Hulk himself, the green man, the green machine, Tom Green, which you call him, I like this, the piglet, because he's coming of age. He could be surpassing the pink sweaty pig himself. He's maturing well. He's bulking up. He's slopping in the mud. He faces the Eagles this week, a team he averages 110.3 against, his third best from three outings. Much like Rao, has started the season in hot form, of course, with scores of 132 and 152. Could he go big yet again?
Yes.
100%.
Simply put, yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, Liam, on to our captaincy head-to-head tips to round us out. Excuse me. Sorry, his grass caught my throat. I was out eating some lawn with Rao. Our head-to-head tips, of course, which once again makes a return for 2024. Last season, I was the victor. Liam, can you stop the DJ trade a lot juggernaut? Or can I go back-to-back? We'll have to wait and see.
You have the first pick, Damon.
No, I was about to say.
No, I don't want the first pick.
No, and it's not charity. It may seem like charity.
Charity. I don't even think
because
it's charity.
I was just going to say
in full honesty, I think we're going to pick two different players.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? Yeah. Is there someone that's not on the list?
No, it's not someone that's on the list. They're on the list.
Oh, they're on the list. Okay.
I think we're not going to share a brain in this moment.
Oh, I know, because we have in recent times.
I've got two players I want, and I don't think you can pick either. You'll pick one of them, and I don't think I care which one I want. Make it easier for me. Because I don't know which one I want to pick.
I've also got two players. Oh, two and a half players. Two and a half men. Men. Hey?
Who's the half player?
Well, if I said who it was, it'd kind of give away who I'm selecting.
Just pick.
I think it's pretty obvious who like the number one choice is. Has to be factoring in that he's probably not so much a pod, but I don't think many people would have started with him. Actually, take that back, 46% of teams. I had no idea. I am referring to, of course, the green machine, Tom Green. Who you were going to pick?
He was one of the two. But
the other one, I'm going to pick it. Can I pick it? I'm going to say, you weren't going to pick him first?
No, he was one of the two, but I probably... Oh, okay.
Labonte. It's not Labonte the Lock as El Capitano. No.
My other was Max Gawn.
That is a pod if I've ever heard of it. I like it. That's good.
Gotta take some risks, Damon.
Exactly right. Gotta take some risks. I liked it. Yeah. It's a calculated risk as well because, as you said, best career average, 131.7, and has the history of back to back 172 games. Mm. So I like it. There's theory to that.
There's theory.
Which I appreciate. So I've gone for Thomas Green, the big Hulk.
Green machine.
Yep.
And I'm going for Max.
Which one's going to turn up? Maxie's going to turn up. Okay.
Maxie's we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be forced to talk about him next week because you selected him. So
exactly.
we'll find out which type of Max turns up. Mm. Hopefully for our sake, it's Maxie because, well, for me anyway, because I own him. But yeah, we'll wait and see. But Liam, that does bring us to the end of what has been a mammoth first show. Went through a fair bit of stuff, which is good and hopefully helps those of you out there tuning in. But before we go, where can our listeners and viewers find us across our socials?
On YouTube, search Supercoach Edge, and please don't forget to like and subscribe. On Twitter or X, I realize I always just refer to it as Twitter because that's what it is.
Yeah.
You can find us on at @supercoach_edge, Damon at @damonj88, myself at @liam_evans_95, and on Facebook, search Supercoach Edge and you'll find us there.
Very good. Well, just a reminder as well, make sure to check out our team review episodes dropping this week. I'll potentially be dropping mine maybe tomorrow, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday at this stage. Normally, I'll try and do it on a Monday from here on out, recording Sunday evening. May even put it up Sunday evening if I can, but most likely a Monday. So with those team review episodes, make sure that you're tuning into our YouTube, which is where you'll find it exclusively. And if you're listening to us via the audio podcast, make sure to head across and give it a watch and a bit of a sub as well if you know, it tickles your fancy.
Yes. Don't forget also to jump into our free open league if you haven't done so already, with the league code being 123391. The overall winner will receive a Supercoach Championship ring that you can use to wed your love, much like I did.
Exactly. In recent times. That was incredible. And still can't believe that she's still to this day wearing it.
Yeah, exactly.
So the good faith, the good people at Supercoach Championship Rings, check them out. They do some absolutely fantastic stuff. And it's all courtesy of them, of course. And they would be over the moon to hear that. Well, that rounds us out for round one, Liam. Should say to everyone, best of luck for round two. And we'll see you next week to do it all again. Thanks again for tuning in.
See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.